was beautiful. Mary Jane Pugh was a force to be reckoned with. So much so that George and I are both sharing our remembrances of how much Mary Jane means to all of us at St. Paul's in a first time ever two-part homily. Paul Anka wrote a song called My Way. I'm going to read a few of the lyrics for you now, and as you hear the words, I think you might agree that Mr. Anka must have used Mary Jane as his inspiration, because these could be her words. This was her philosophy. And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Mary Jane just didn't stroll through life. She attacked life. 20-some years ago, as we just had heard, Mary Jane was diagnosed with two different aggressive strains of breast cancer. After her recovery, she turned her attention to helping, mentoring, supporting, and encouraging others with the same disease. She didn't let it define her. She defined it. And her family, and we, her church family, were blessed with those extra years of grace until her cancer metastasized. There is an old saying that goes, they don't make them like that anymore. And I do believe in Mary Jane's case, that's so true. They don't make them like that anymore. Mary Jane is literally part of the fabric here at St. Paul's. She has been a part of so many ministries throughout the years, and she is also part of the fabric of so many lives, certainly for all of us who are here today celebrating her life. First and foremost, and above all else, Mary Jane was a wife, sister, mother, stepmother, and grandmother. But going beyond that, there is no denying that Mary Jane did not fit into just one or two or three categories. I have known her for almost 18 years and have been amazed, impressed, and grateful for our friendship every day since. The woman had courage, tenacity, strength, humor, keen intelligence, and a dedication to what she believed in, and she believed in St. Paul's. But there was a playful side to Mary Jane, too, which became very apparent when all the gals would gather each year for Women's Beach Week at Emerald Isle. Of course, we do have a saying, what happens at Women's Beach Weekend stays at Women's Beach Weekend, but perhaps I might drop a hint or two without divulging too much. Mary Jane had always been the coveted partner when we were playing Squeak, our favorite Women's Beach Week card game. It didn't matter whether Mary Jane was at the top of her form or not. She beat the pants off of all of us. Her fingers would fly, and her brain clicked into warped speed and her competitive spirit would be fully engaged. That was Mary Jane. And when it came to telling funny stories, Mary Jane was one of the best. Sorry, but I can't divulge too much more. But for those who see a pair of white gloves on Susan Gilbert's piano, know what I'm referring to. Sorry, men, to keep you out of the loop. And Mary Jane is one of only a few people actually mentioned by name in the Women's Beach Weekend theme song. She is called Seafood General Mary Jane Pugh, and she would stand up proudly and salute when we sang that verse. Mary Jane's spirituality was an important element in her life. And as with everything else that Mary Jane was a part of, she immersed herself deeply into studying about her God and her religion. She questioned, she delved, she read, she listened, and she shared. Mary Jane was a part of two different Curcio reunion groups, and we all came together earlier to pray the Come Holy Spirit prayer with her one last time. Both groups, though separate, meet every Tuesday, one in the afternoon and one in the evening. And Mary Jane is the one who coined the phrase, blessed friendships, to describe the relationships we all shared together. I think it would be safe to say that most people saw Mary Jane as a competent, take-control kind of gal, and she was. But Mary Jane had a softer, vulnerable side, which I first glimpsed when her beloved husband Harry died. I felt very privileged that she allowed me to see her with her defenses down. And it was then that we forged a very special friendship. It was that softer, vulnerable Mary Jane who would talk about how proud she was of her family. She would mention special things that Tom or Jennifer, Murray or Chip, or Jathan or Josh, or Greta or Carlton would say or do. Things that touched her heart so deeply. She was an unapologetic weeper, and she would tear up when referring to her loved ones. And when I say that Mary Jane was a mentor to me, I say that knowing that she was a mentor to many, many others. She taught me some valuable lessons before and after I was ordained. Mary Jane had an innate sense of people and what made them tick. I think of the advice she shared with me over the years as invaluable life lessons, ones that I will never forget. And as I was trying to put my thoughts down on paper for today, I had one of many notes that Mary Jane mailed to me, propped up in front of me as my inspiration. At the end of the note, she wrote, "I hope in some way I can return your kindness and caring. Please know I want to be there for you always." Oh, Mary Jane, you have, my dear friend, you have. And I am most humbly grateful. I'd like to leave you with one last thought as we segue to George's remembrances. Imagine now, if you can, that the heavenly treasurer is busy wiping the sweat off of his halo in preparation for all the questions Mary Jane plans to ask him about this upcoming year's budget and stewardship drive. Amen.
Yes, it was a few months ago I met with Mary Jane, and she said to me, "Now, George," you always knew something was coming, but she said to me, "We have to get together and have a conversation about my funeral." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "When do you want to do that?" "Well, let's work it out. Next week's not a good week, but maybe the next week." So the next week I gave her a call and said, "Mary Jane, do you want me to come over to the house?" She said, "Yeah, that would be a good idea." I said, "How about this afternoon?" "Well, there's a car in the parking lot, in the driveway right now. We're going out to lunch. This is not a good day." So I called the next week and she said, "Well, I have some doctor's appointments. I have to take care of those. Give me another week or so." Eventually, Mary Jane said to me, "I'm going to come over to the office." It's kind of one of those things that I knew she wanted to do and I wanted to do with her, but it's one of those things you just keep putting off. So she came over to the office here to have a conversation, and we sat down, and it wasn't exactly a conversation. Mary Jane had it all planned out. She had all the hymns chosen, the scripture readings chosen. Everything we're doing at this service, pretty much, Mary Jane wrote down and had at that meeting. We sat for quite a while talking about this day. And at the end, I felt like we were finished. You know, sometimes you're meeting with somebody, and you feel like, well, it seems like we're finished. And I went to make that move, and she said, "Just wait a second, though." And she said, "I just want to say one other thing." She said, "Now, George, I know over the years I've been rather outspoken. I know over the years I've spoken my mind. And I know at meetings, annual meetings, it seems I'm always the one that wants to get the last word." And I said, "Yeah." And I'm sure it wasn't the easiest thing to be a rector while I was around. And I said, "No, I don't think that's the case. You know, I said, a lot of times I actually agreed with you." And she said, "I always wanted to get the last word." She said, "But you know something?" I remember looking down at the rug for a second. "You know something, George? On the day of my funeral, you're going to get the last word." And I've thought about that conversation, and what is the last word? The last word that I want to share with you today is silence. Silence. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Many of us know Mary Jane in many different ways. Her family, friends, people here in the parish. You know, I know her more from her involvement here at St. Paul's. We do know her as someone who would speak her mind. We do know her as someone who had a passion for outreach, who had a passion for calling this parish to go beyond itself, to truly live the gospel that Jesus was calling us to. And she voiced that and spoke of that. We know her as the person who also stood at those doors and welcomed people. She so loved this community and was so much a part of it, she wanted others to be a part of it. And she would welcome newcomers who came into this community. We knew her in many different ways, her activities and things. She belonged to reunion groups. One wasn't enough for Mary Jane. She needed more than one group to kind of, you know, kind of hold that kind of energy she had. We know she played squeak well. I don't even know what squeak is, but I'm heard she played it well. I know her role at the Women's Beach Weekend. I know what goes on at the Women's Beach Weekend stays at the Women's Beach Weekend, but I have spies. She played an incredible role in what she did here. And most of us, I think, our memory of her is her energy, her as Jennifer said, being an extrovert, sort of reaching out. And voicing what she thought. You never doubted what Mary Jane thought about something. But the last couple of years, I want to share something with you that I shared with Mary Jane and a few others here in our faith community. Mary Jane became part of the Julian Gathering a couple of years ago. The Julian Gathering is a group of folks here in the parish who I'm part of it as well. We get together a couple times a month, and we gather in quiet prayer. Contemplative prayer, silent prayer. We gather as a group there in the bride's room, and in a circle, usually about 12, 15 of us. It's probably about 15, 20 people involved in this, but it varies week to week. And what we do is we spend some time in quiet prayer and then discuss some of the writings of the mystic Julian of Norwich. And Mary Jane was drawn to that in these last couple of years of her life as she realized that this cancer she had was what it was for her. Contemplative prayer is really a call to a deeper, deeper understanding, a deeper way of perhaps seeing the world, giving oneself a new lens, a new way to see things. And Mary Jane, what I experienced with her is she didn't come to that group feeling like she'd had it all done, it was all finished, that she had it all together, but rather she was someone who looked deeper, someone who knew that the path, this journey she was walking, was one to be continued. And she sought meaning. She sought understanding. She sought healing. She sought wholeness. Those of us in the Julian gathering, we're some of the folks who can say, we spent hours and hours with Mary Jane in silence. In silence. And we shared those moments together as all of us entered into that. As we gather together today to celebrate the fullness of life that Mary Jane has entered into, and we remember the life she shared with us here, there are many ways we know Mary Jane and hear her almost prophetic voice. The thing with Mary Jane was, oftentimes she expressed things and you actually agreed with her. She was calling us to something, calling us forth. I remember that, but I remember more than anything else the time in that little circle, the time of silent prayer, as she modeled for me, and perhaps could model for all of us, this continued search, this continued journey, this continued path to find new ways of understanding, new ways of seeing things. And that's what I'll remember with Mary Jane. And that will continue on in all of us as we continue our time here together at St. Paul's, that we will minister to each other, we will welcome the newcomers, welcome those who join us, but also reach out beyond ourselves and make a difference in this world and our community beyond us. In many ways, Mary Jane expressed those in her life. And I hope we can continue that in our journey forward. So I invite you today, as we've said, as Jennifer said, to come on over to the parish hall afterwards and be part of a gathering of refreshments and food. And I saw that list too, everything chosen by Mary Jane, even the kinds of cheeses and the kinds of things we're having. It was important to her. She knew this day would happen, and she wanted all of us to gather and rejoice in the life we've all shared together, and be nourished and fed in the journey that will continue. So we give thanks for Mary Jane. I don't know if I ever get the last word, but the last word I remember is silence, and I give thanks for that in her life, because I think it was out of that silence that her words were born. And those are the most significant words, when they are born from that place, born from that depth, born from that place of searching. So I give thanks for Mary Jane and hope that she can be a model for us in that spiritual sense of continuing together. So we give thanks. And I hope Mary Jane says those are okay last words. I said to someone the other day, Mary Jane's in heaven now. Little did they know, heaven will be a different place soon. As Mary Jane kind of meets with the folks, as you made reference to, Candy, being in the fullness of life. So we give thanks for her journey with us. And I want to thank Mary Jane's family for gathering us together, for being with us. And it's been a special experience for me to come to know all of you a little bit better. It's at times like that that we come together, perhaps, but I give thanks for that. And thank you for what you've been and done these last few weeks and throughout your lives. But I want to give you thanks for coming to get you to know you better, to know you more, and to know that Mary Jane is loved here very, very deeply. And we give thanks for that.